Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 17th, 2024. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 33. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered it and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Again they came to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say, 'From heaven,' he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say, 'Of human origin?'" They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Here ends the reading. Think back for a moment to the first chapter of Mark and the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He had just called his first four disciples, Andrew and Peter and James and John. They go into the synagogue in Capernaum, and the crowd there hear Jesus teach and witness an exorcism. Mark summarizes the crowd's reaction this way. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" In today's reading, which is near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, the religious leaders ask, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave it to you?" If you recall, the leaders have a presenting issue on their minds. Just the day before, Jesus had created quite the chaos in the temple courtyard by overturning tables and disrupting business as usual there. But the question they ask Jesus is more broad in scope and includes everything that the leaders know or have learned about Jesus. In some ways, they are asking, "By what authority, Jesus, do you heal? Do you teach? Do you cast out demons? Do you raise the dead? Who gave you this?" Notice, they are not questioning if Jesus has authority. They can see for themselves he does, or at least that he is behaving as if he believes he does. They want to know where he got it. This is not an unusual question coming from people who claim to derive their authority from God and who also knew they needed and depended upon the local government to maintain their control over the religious machinery. The local government, in turn, depended on the Roman imperial structure to maintain their authority over the territory. And, of course, Roman authority ultimately derived from the power of the sword. Caesar had authority over it all because Caesar had the military machine to make it so. All in all, this system of interlocking levels of authority worked just fine for those who, through political savvy or sheer dumb luck, were the beneficiaries of the system as it was. All other people were simply ground up by the system. But Jesus has no regard for the system at all. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus acting with a confidence and assurance that what he does and says is God's will and is God's truth. This is the same authority that Jesus claims for his followers, an authority that moves mountains, and a confidence that prayers are answered immediately because, well, prayers are answered, period. Truth be told, most of us hearing me read today's passage probably don't spend that much time wondering about Jesus' authority. We don't question it. Even if we've never thought about it much per se, by now it is clear as we've read this gospel, he has authority. He has wielded it in many ways throughout Mark's gospel, over demons and diseases, over stormy seas and starving multitudes, and even death. He has taught in synagogues and the countryside. He has walked on dusty roads and strode atop wind-whipped waves. By the time he encounters the religious leaders in the temple, Mark has left us with little doubt that Jesus' authority will threaten the authority of the status quo. He doesn't need to explain himself to anyone. And his masterful sidestepping of the religious leader's direct question only emphasizes this fact. Of course, we the readers, and we who are familiar with the story, know this long simmering conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders will reach a boiling point in fairly short order. And we know how this chapter of the story will end. But the gospel story is never just about what happened in the way back when. The gospel story is also very much about the right here, right now. And that reminder leads me to ponder a few questions. How are we, as Jesus' followers, called to embody the authority of Jesus in our own place and time? What are the oppressive systems of power that we, as Jesus' followers, need to confront and take action to overturn? In what ways have we ourselves benefited from those oppressive systems that operate at others' expense? And how do we continually repent of our indifference to all of that once and for all? My other question, the one that's really burning on my mind, is why are we so timid with our faith? Maybe we will only begin to embody Jesus' authority when we start taking seriously that we have it, and we start speaking boldly to circumstances which are so intractable they seem like mountains to us. Maybe our call for this day and this time is to risk taking a risk, to risk believing that mountains of injustice, oppression, violence, and war will one day, in God's good time, drown in the depths of God's righteous justice, mercy, and love. Maybe we can risk taking a risk. Dear God, make it be so. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.